My kids like to say grace. They like to say, Jesus is neat, let's eat. That's their favorite go-to. But it's one of the simplest levels of thanking God, is saying grace. Saying grace means offering thanksgiving. And grace comes from the Latin word gratiarum actio, which is an act of thanks. It's not just saying something. It's an act of thanks. To say grace before meals is, among other things, to remember that it's not us or our credit card or anything, our job, that got us the meal that we have on the table. It's God. And it's one of the things that we should be grateful for every time. Now, Rob just read to you out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you're not there, I would like for you to turn there. We're going to roll through that story of Moses leading the Israelites and how he spoke to them. He didn't just lead them out of bondage. He didn't just lead them out of Egypt. He led them into the promised land. He led them into a relationship with God. And that's what I want to look at today. You know, Exodus 33:11 says, God spoke to Moses face to face as a man talks to a friend. Moses and God had a pretty good relationship going on. He would talk to Moses. Moses would pass this on to the people. He was the messenger to them. And they're about to enter the promised land. They still got a few battles to go. But what we just read, before they get into the promised land, Moses is saying, before you get into this amazing land, and he describes to them all they're going to have there, he says, don't forget where you came from. Church, if you remember anything today, remember where you came from. None of us would be here if it wasn't for God. Amen? That's a weak amen. I said, none of us would be here if it wasn't for God. Hey, all right, there we go. So Moses, he's talking to them, and he's afraid they're going to get caught up in all the provisions that they forget the provider. Does that sound familiar? Getting so caught up in the blessings that we forget where the blessings came from. He says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountain and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates. I mean, this is not what they've had before. Okay? So he's setting them up to understand where they are. And verse 10 says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given, saying grace. Being grateful. Now, if you look at 11, he says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. When you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses, dwell in them. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, listen to this, and you forget the Lord your God. How? How can we so easily forget where we came from and all the blessings that we now have? The proper response to plenty is thanksgiving and praise. I said the proper response to plenty is thanksgiving and praise. Amen. The absence of the proper worship or praise to God means we become complacent and greedy. And we begin to think, well, everything I've got, I worked hard for. I earned this. This is because of who I am. And before long, we act as if we don't even need God. We can learn a lesson from these Israelites. What a brilliant act of leadership by Moses. He'd been leading them for many years. He knew how they had responded in the past. And there had been times when they would turn on him and God and say, where is God? So not only is he preparing them for where they're going, he's saying, don't forget where you came from. And what Moses had figured out then, and what I want us to figure out today and understand, is that God's gifts alone are not able to bring you joy. I'll say that again. God's gifts alone are not able to bring you joy. It's when his gifts are partnered with gratitude that you will find joy in your heart. Man, you guys are a little quiet today. I'm going to look for some response. I just came from a men's conference with 7,000 men. And when something was said, I heard an amen. I mean, I was even amening myself because there was some good stuff going on. So let me say this again, and I'll give you a second chance. God's gifts alone cannot bring you joy. It's when it's partnered with gratitude. How many of you are grateful today? Amen. I like it. You know, my son loves Legos. Now, I know you guys are probably, in the next 10, 15 years, you're going to hear about my kids. I'm just going to tell you. They're too good of an example, and here's why. It's until you have children that you truly understand how much the Father must love us based on how much you love your children. It's amazing how we look at that and we want to love them so much, we want them to have so much, and we understand that God, even more than what we want for our children, the Bible says He wants for us. Connor loves Legos. He loves them. He has Batman Legos, Star Wars Legos, Lego Movie Legos, you know, the city Legos. He has them all. And the brilliance of Lego manufacturers is when you buy a box, you know, a kit of Legos, and it's there to be put together, they don't sell you everything. They might sell you one Star Wars ship, and there's about three or four other ones that you can buy if you'd like. And there's a city that you can build that you can battle with all the little Star Wars in there. I mean, there's all these different ones. For Batman, same thing. There's Joker and his car. There's Robin. There's all these other things. So at the moment that he's opening the box of the very Legos he got, there's a little piece of paper in there that he can pull out that tells him about everything he doesn't have. So before he's able to even enjoy what's in front of him, he's already looking. Dad, look at this one. I want this. Look at this one. I can have this. And then I can have the whole set. It's hard for him to even enjoy what's in front of him because he's already thinking about what he doesn't have. Does this sound familiar? Church, we get older, but not all of us grow up. Amen? We just find bigger toys. We just find more expensive toys that we want, and we find ourselves thinking, man, I've got this, but if I only had that, I could be happy. Here's the thing for Connor, though. If I see him putting those Legos together, playing with it day after day after day, and enjoying that Lego, having a great time using it to its full potential, I'm willing to buy him more. I want to add to that because I see how much joy he gets from it. But if it's not used to its full potential, if he hasn't even got it put together yet, and he's saying, Dad, I need another one to be happy, it's really hard to want to add to that because he hasn't even gotten the enjoyment out of that one. He hasn't even used it to its full potential. And church, we got to use what God has given us to our full potential. To its full potential. Let me say that again. Gratitude comes in the form of actions more than words. It's an act of thanksgiving. And likewise, if we're not careful, we can be surrounded by all the goodness of God, all the blessings of God, and all the provisions of God. And we can even get to be to the point where we say, look what I have. Look at everything I've accumulated. Now, Courtney and I told you we started ministry 15 years ago in McKinney, Texas. And I want to give you a little understanding of what we went into there. In our first location as youth pastors. McKinney, Texas is right on the edge of Dallas, and people were moving out of Dallas to McKinney. It was the furthest thing north at that time that was pretty close to Dallas. So that community began to explode. And the pastor that we came and worked under moved from Kansas City to McKinney about a year before we did. And he took a church of about 50 people that had been there for over 50 years, been there a long time, and they just had never grown. They were about 50 people, mostly several older people in the congregation, didn't have a lot of young families. But he came in and he said, he told this church, if you'll take me on, vote me in as pastor, I want to really change the structure of the church and start trying to get young families and trying to grow the church. And they accepted the idea and they were all for it. They moved locations, they changed several things, and started growing just because McKinney was growing. So in about 6 months to a year, they had 300 people coming to that church. And he realized, we need a youth pastor. We need somebody to pastor our young people. Courtney was just graduating in December of 2001. And so we moved there in January of 2003. And that's when we began our ministry there. We had three students. Our first Wednesday night, we met around a white table with three students. And we just did a Bible study together. But every week, more and more students came. Before long, we had to rent out the daycare that was next door. It closed at 6, so we had 1 hour. Our service began at 7. We would tear everything daycare down, make it look like a youth room, set up instruments, sound system, everything, and be ready to roll at 7. And I'm telling you what, there were some stressful times trying to do that. But we had a blast doing it. We would have our service, tear it all back down, put it all back together, get it ready for daycare, and then we would work our way out. We did that for a year. And in that year, when we were finished with the year, we had 70 students coming to that little daycare having youth service with us. Now, that sounds great. And I can talk all about numbers all day long. But can I be honest with you? Here's the reality of that. We could look back and go, wow, we went from 3 to 70. Look what we did. Look what we did. But instead, the reality of it is, we didn't know what we were doing. We just showed up saying, God, here we are. Use us. And we just had a service. We had to really work hard and have the Bible study to make sure we knew what we were talking about. I was learning the guitar at the time just so we could have music. So we sang the same song over and over and over until I learned a new song. And then we'd sing a new song. And we'd sing that one a bunch until I learned a new song. And then we'd sing it over and over and over. And you're thankful that we don't do that now. I promise you. Courtney is sick of some of those songs that we sang over and over and over. But we did what we had to do. And God used us and through us, in spite of us, it grew. And I'm grateful because I understand that I would not be here today if it wasn't for God. You would not be in this place if it wasn't for God. Amen? Amen. But look at verse 17. He said, then you in your heart say, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Man, I don't ever want to get to the point where I forget that God is what brought me here. Now, I'm excited today because Courtney was talking about something earlier. This welcome to the family that we're having today. This lunch that we're having for newer people in this place. And here's the cool part about this. Normally, we have one of those in the spring and one in the fall, usually about two a year. And we're having two in a row, last month and this month, because we've seen people coming in wanting to be a part of our church. That's exciting. And I am so glad for every person who wants to make Cornerstone Church their home church. We're glad you're here. But can I be honest with you? It would be a huge mistake if I wasn't absolutely, overwhelmingly grateful for every one of you who have filled these pews week after week after week after year after year after year. This place wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So I'm just as grateful for you. Because as new people come in, you're the reason they have a great experience. You're the reason that they're getting Sunday school class. You're the reason that they're being welcomed when they come in the door. It's because of you that we can bring new people in. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'm grateful for you, for every single one of you. And I'm confident to say this. This place would not be the same if it wasn't for you. If it wasn't for you. It wasn't for you. Every one of us in this place, we make this place good together. Amen? Courtney talked about the funeral lunch last week. Man, I was so amazed just to watch you go to work for someone who was hurting in our church. But let's talk next level for just a moment. Because I pray that we continue to grow. Man, I'll have a welcome to the family lunch every week if we have to. I don't care. I pray that we continue to reach new people and continue to add people in. I pray that you continue to be successful in your own life. Because the more successful you are, the more successful this place will be. Please don't get hung up on that word successful. What I mean by that is you and your wife loving one another, having a strong marriage, you having godly kids, you're raising them in the way that they should go. That's what I mean by successful. I'm longing that the more successful you are, the more successful this place will be because there's power in numbers. And maybe what you need in your life is not the next level of accomplishment. Maybe what you need in your life is not the next level of accumulation. Maybe for us to go to the next level, What we need in our lives is the next level of appreciation. To be grateful for what God has already done. Man, it's quiet in here. I want to go to the next level of appreciation, of gratitude, of saying thank you. Now I want to change somebody's life right now. You don't have to raise your hand. I know by the ones who came forward for prayer today that there are people in this room that are facing things that they need the will of God in their life. So if you're sitting here today and you're facing a decision, if you're facing a problem, if you're facing something and you're saying, I just wish I knew God's will. Can I give you God's will? But I'm going to need you to want it. So can I give you God's will? Okay, here it is. If you don't have a pen, grab one, write this scripture down. This is God's will for your life. No matter who you are in this room, no matter what you have going on, this scripture right here is God's will for your life. We're going to take a test in just a moment after we read this. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. I'm going to give you a moment to write that, find it, whatever you need to do. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. There's three things right here that will tell you God's will for your life. Number one, rejoice always. Let's say that together. Rejoice always. Number two, you got it on the screen now. Pray continually. Let's say it together. Number three, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you don't know what to do in the moment, if you have a decision that's coming up, the first thing you need to do is just rejoice. Rejoice in what you have. Rejoice in who God is. Rejoice in what He's done for you. Then you need to just sit down and pray. When it says pray continually, let me just be honest with you. This does not mean that you can't turn on the television. You can't talk to somebody. No, don't talk to me. I'm praying. I got to keep praying constantly. You can't turn the TV on. I just got to sit here and pray. Can't think about anything. Church, life goes on. But if you will consistently be in prayer, if you will consistently turn to God when you have something in your life and you're looking for leadership, if you're looking for guidance, if you're looking for direction, here it is. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let's review. I don't want you to forget this. What's number one? What's number two? And what's number three? Some of you don't seem so excited about it, but you got it out. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, happy people. All right, that was weak. I want you to look at your neighbor with the cheesiest, most ridiculous smile you can come up with and say, happy people. Say it one more time. Happy people are not the ones who have the best of everything. Okay, you can stop because I want you to hear this next line. It's brilliant. It's not one I came up with, but I want to say it. Happy people are not the ones who have the best of everything. They're the ones who make the most of what they have. Can you say amen to that? Gratitude is using what God has given you to its full potential. It's an act of thankfulness. My mom, I love her to death. My mom, when I was growing up, used to love to put my brother and sister and I up on stage and have us sing songs. And I hated it. From the moment I was in four years old, I was up on the stage. She would write songs with three verses because she would write these songs so that my brother had a verse, my sister had a verse, and I had a verse. We text these back and forth to each other all the time because it's a huge joke in my family. We have such fun with it. She would even dress my brother and I like, and then my sister would have a dress that kind of matched my brother and I. So I got to wear what I wore, and then when I grew up a little bit and David outgrew it, then I would have to wear it again. So I had outfits twice a lot of times. So I was pretty sick of it by the second time. But, we have tons of pictures of us standing up on stage singing these songs. Now, as much as I hated it, I need to stop and just say thank you, Mom, because I didn't know I would stand up and make a living singing on stage. So, I mean, she knew what she was doing. So God obviously knew. But at the moment, I wasn't happy about it, I'll be honest with you. So 4 and 5, 6 years old, I found the secret to not having to get on stage. We usually sat on the second row over on the side, and I would find my way during the music down on the floor, and I would fall asleep. And if I was asleep, I didn't have to get up and sing. She wouldn't wake me up, so then my sister would have to sing my part. And there were many times I was under that pew, kind of going like this, just laughing at them that they had to get up there and sing. That was my way to get out of singing, was just as long as I looked like I was asleep, I was good. But I remember a song that she taught me, most simple song in the world, called If I Were a Butterfly. Anybody know that song? If I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. If I were a bird in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. If I were a fish in the sea, I'd wiggle my tail and I'd giggle with glee. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Because you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. Simplest song in the world. Gave me Jesus and you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Gratitude, church. That's where it's at. You don't have to clap for that. Oh my. You guys are easy to please. We need to have a spirit of gratitude in this place. And it makes a difference. Thankfulness should characterize the Christian life in every circumstance. Man, it's quiet. Thankfulness should characterize the Christian life in every circumstance. Not thanks for everything, but thanks in everything. I want to make sure I say that right. There's times where we go through things that we're probably not thankful for, but we can be thankful in everything that God is with us, that He's carrying us through, that His grace is sufficient. Come on, are you saying amen to that right now? There we go. How quickly we forget the blessings of God. Look back at our text. Moses is reminding them. God's done a lot of things for them, but He points out four things in our scripture that I want to show you. And basically, in the enjoyment of God's blessings, Moses is worried that the people, to their own detriment, might think that they were self-sufficient, that they did this on their own. So he reminds them of what God had done. Here's the four things. I'm starting in verse 14. And he says, "You forget the Lord your God, who, number one, brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Number two, led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water. Who brought you water out of a flinty rock. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna." Four things. I don't know how they could get confused in this and think that they are the ones that were able to do this. That they didn't need God. How? Any of you ever get water out of a flinty rock? Anybody ever had birds just falling from the sky? You just look up. Come on down, bird. No, not unless you're a dove hunter, duck hunter, then you got something you're using. But that God had done something for them. God had done great things for them, and Moses is reminding them. And I believe God has greater things for this place. But while I'm excited about the future potential, I can't forget about the past provisions. It's what keeps my faith going. It's what keeps me believing that God is going to do something in this place, continue to do something. He's already doing it. God, thank you that we need nursery workers. Because we got 7 or 8 babies on the way, and there's already plenty of them over there. Thank you, Lord, that we need nursery workers. Thank you, Lord, that we need more ushers and greeters to continue to welcome people as they come in the door. Thank you for this season of growth. But I don't want to just say thank you. I want to be a good steward of what God has given us and use it to its full potential. So my question today, in this body of believers, are you being used to your full potential? Are you being grateful by saying, "God, thank you for what you've done in my life. Here am I. Use me." It's an act of thanksgiving. Whatever it is you do, we need it. I don't care if you write poems and make roses out of crepe paper. We need you. We need you in this place to being used to your full potential because we want to continue to add. And we want to be using everything God has given us. The people that were here before you got us this far. But just think, when we continue to add people, how much stronger we are, how much better we are together as the power in numbers, as the power as we begin to grow and add new people and add new ideas and add new talents and add new blessings, we become stronger. This reminds me of Jeff Meyer. Jeff, where are you? I'm embarrassing you. I'm sorry, man. Jeff Meyer started coming with Kim a year ago Christmas. And for about 9 months, I'm going to try to get this exactly right. I probably should have had him tell. For about 9 months, he would roll in, he'd have service, and he'd get up and leave. He'd roll in, have service, and get up and leave. Last August, September, we started a men's breakfast. We started the Man Up group. Our care teams were calling on people. And Jeff began to develop some relationships with some of us in the room. Began to come to men's breakfast. Began to come and get involved in church. And God was working on his heart with an idea. He had an idea of having this meal for men. Now here's the awesome part of that. Roger Bernskeder. Roger, you guys have been here since the very beginning, right? Of Cornerstone Church. God was working on him in the same way. Same idea. Did you guys even know each other before? Not before. But before he started coming to church. Didn't know each other at all. But God's telling him the same thing. He brought them together. And over a meal, they discussed this idea. And both of them were thinking the exact same thing. And out of that came our men's meet and greet. That the very first one, a week ago Tuesday, we had almost 30 guys come into the courtyard. And you know what? We prayed one prayer, and that was for the meal. Other than that, we just hung out as guys. We ate some good food, and we just fellowshiped. And I can tell you right now, God was in it. God was there. Thank you, Jeff, for being willing to use what God had told you to do. You don't know how good of a cook this dude is. It's amazing. I'm telling you, we had a feast, more than enough to eat. Because he was willing to say, I'll do the first one. And he showed up early on Tuesday. He's in there cooking all day Tuesday. I walked in, I was like, man, it smells good. Where'd you learn to cook? He's letting me taste everything. I was ready to eat right then. And I said, where'd you learn to cook? Well, I had to cook for myself. So I just started learning. Before long, I found out he doesn't even use recipes. He just throws it all together, and somehow it works. If you can talk to my wife after we're done, I'll give you an hour. I'll pay you. I love you. Oh, my goodness. I love you. Here's what I'll tell you about my wife. This is why I can pick on her. Because very few women can stand up here and do what she does. Unfortunately, cooking's not one of them. Jeff, thank you. Let me tell you another story. I'm almost done. The last welcome to the family last month that we had, we were announcing that, and a couple of weeks before the date of that welcome to the family, Natalie Holzer caught me after church. She came up and she said, Chad, what are you serving the people at the welcome to the family? And I said, well, we usually buy subs from Hy-Vee. We cut them up, serve them chips and a drink and a sub. And she goes, I think we can do better than that. I said, okay. I'm not a cook, but go for it. So we got together. We told her how many we were going to have. And she made an incredible meal. She got with TJ and Rhonda Sampson. And they made the dessert. They all served every one of the people that came in. Every one of us that were there for the meal. We had an incredible meal for them. Here's the cool thing. Over in the courtyard right now, Gary and Cheryl Ball, who were here for the first time in February, came to our Welcome to the Family last month just to get to know us, call this their church home. They're now over preparing the meal with Natalie and Mike so they can feed the new people that are coming in today. That is what we're about. We're using people to their full potential. It's putting people in place. And where are you to fill in? Where are you to step in and say, I've worked in the nursery. I'll serve a meal. I'll sing on the stage. I'll do whatever. I'll read a scripture. I'll take up the offering. Whatever you need, I'll do it. When you begin to do that, you're showing gratitude to God for what He's done in your life. And this place becomes stronger every single time. We will not be the same without you here. Stand to your feet. Psalm 107, 1 and 2 says this. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? His love endures how long? Oh, come on. His love endures how long? Let the redeemed, are we the redeemed? Let the redeemed do what? I said, let the redeemed do what? You've been saved, you've been delivered, you've been healed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say what? Come on, say so. Give God praise right now. Thank Him for what He's done in your life. God, thank You for salvation. Thank You for healing. Thank You for deliverance. Thank You for strong marriages that have been healed in this place. Thank You for lives that have been changed and transformed. And I believe there's more to come. Come on, can you say amen to that? I believe there's more to come. Let's be grateful as we leave this place. And it's not just being grateful for what's going on here. It's when you get home. God, thank You for a wonderful home that I can sit in and stay warm on a nasty, rainy, cold day. Thank You for a wonderful wife who I need to appreciate and be grateful for. Thank You for a husband who will work for me and earn money and do what he needs to do to raise my kids and be the father that he needs to be. I'm spitting all over the place, but this is good, right? Be grateful for what God has done in your life. Don't just say it. Don't just say it. You got to do something. It's an act of gratitude. It's an act of thankfulness. God, thank You for what You've done for us. God, thank You for touching lives already in this place today. We have so much to be grateful for. God, we are blessed. Some of you need to be reminded that you're blessed. Let it soak in just a moment. You are blessed. We are blessed. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. There be a spirit of gratitude as we walk out of this place today, recognizing all that You've done. But Lord, we're excited about what's to come. We're excited about what You're going to continue to do in this place and continue to do in our own hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go with God this week. If you need prayer in this moment, I'm going to stay up here.